Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated July 12, 2019. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sestile Tekle and is a podcast project created by Lord Baldrith and run by Asclepius and Style Tekle. The background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, here we are, another week happening in the game. A lot of things happening this week, which I'll talk about in greater detail later. But I hope you're having a good time in the game, and I hope things are going well for you. I've made a bit of a bold move lately. I've started to flag myself intermittently for the dreaded PvP. And I'll talk about that for a little bit, because it has been a hot topic for discussion. The PvP Brigade have always been dissatisfied and said, look, there's not enough emphasis and attention being paid to PvP, and it needs to be made more attractive, and basically not enough people are doing it. Now, my two cents worth, for what it's worth, is I think PvP in any MMO is inherently scary, and especially in a game like this, it is frightening, especially for younger and newer players. And as an aside, I would suggest to any lower level players or any new players, any players who are just getting started and finding their feet and gradually working their way up, don't even think about it. It is really, really not worthwhile. You are pitting yourself against an elite group of high level players, and they will eat you up in one or two bites and chew you and spit you out, and you'll be left devastated, and you will walk away swearing that you will never do this again. And that has probably happened to a number of people, and it's put them off for life, which is not a good experience. So my suggestion, for what it's worth, is don't even think about engaging in PvP until you're fairly confident, until you're at a fairly high level, because everybody's going to get there eventually. And I think this is one limiting or inhibiting factor that's happened in the game. Yeah, we've got a lot of people playing, but the numbers up in the upper levels are not great. You know, it takes you a while. It takes you a long while, actually, to get up to that sort of a level, adventuring level 100 or above. It takes a long time to get there. And I'm guessing that a smallish proportion of the population is actually there, because unless you're there, it's not worth it. Okay, so we got a small proportion of the population who I think would be reasonably equipped or worthwhile engaging in PvP. That's one limiting factor. Now, having said that, if you want to do it, great. It's good fun. You need to be, as I say, reasonably competent. You need to be confident. You need to be able to survive easily and fairly comfortably in at least a level 5 or a level 8 area. And then you think, okay, I have a chance. I could possibly take these people on. And then you give it a go. Now, it's like anything else in life. You think, okay, I'm hopeless at this, I'm useless, I'm no good, I will never succeed. Yeah, that's right. When you take anything on, when you learn any sort of skill, that's how you are, and that's how you're expected to be. When you start training or learning in anything, you're going to be crap, you're going to be disgusting, and you will fail a lot. But by failing, you learn. And I've only had a couple of experiences this week, and yeah, got beaten up, quite badly. But it was a learning experience. And I was there in Tartarus, minding my own business. Having said that, I had the flag up. You know, I was flagged for PvP, so should have been aware. But I'm running around killing elves, having the time of my life. And all of a sudden, at the intersection, which I didn't notice, oh, there's a guy with a red name plate. Oh, dear. And he started to lay into me. Of course, the first thing I did was panic, which you cannot do. You cannot panic. I mean, it's just like any other opponent, really, having taken time to think about it. But of course, you don't at those times. So, first thing, panic. Second thing, try to heal because, oh God, I've lost half my health already. And while you're healing, you're not attacking. And so I died pretty quickly. Okay. Well, look, no hard feelings, no embarrassment about that at all. That's all legitimate. When you are in PvP, nobody's going to come up to you and tap you on the shoulder saying, excuse me, sir, do you mind if I kill you now? This is not how it works. Stealth, subterfuge, and surprising and jumping people are all part of the game. And it adds an extra level of danger and excitement, which, yeah, it's great. So if you can do that, if you can win, and if you can succeed, it's an extra element of the game. But as I say, it's probably best left for the more senior players. Okay, so after having been rendered dead, the next thing I did was look for an ankh. That was my second mistake, because there was an ankh right nearby in the corner. Oh, great, good, I'll go and get rezzed. So I went and got rezzed and suddenly reappeared. Yeah, right where I was before, right where the guy was still standing, and of course all the buffs and things that I usually erect to protect myself weren't there because I'd just been deaded and I hadn't put them back on again. So really, there was an open invitation to kill me again, which he sort of took. Now, you might think that's bad form. I don't know. I was asking him to kill me again. So he did. And I thought, yeah, okay, that's not a clever thing. I'll go and find another ankh around the corner, which is a little bit further removed. And then I won't be staring him in the face and he won't be staring me in the face. And I've got a chance to either do something or run away or get myself together again. So, look, I learned a couple of basic rules. And that's what happens when you're playing PvP. There are rules and there are tricks and techniques for surviving. Yeah, it's like any other opponent. Don't lose your nerve. Attack like crazy. If you win, good luck. If you lose, make sure you've got enough cash in your pocket to pay the ransom. Because probably a lot of the PvPers will take the ransom. Some of them won't. That's fine. But quite a lot of them will. So just make sure you've got enough cash to pay for it. And you'll be fine. And you've learned something. A bit later in the week, I met up with a guildmate who had beaten me soundly in the past when we'd had a bit of a friendly duel. So he challenged me to another duel, and this time the tables were turned and I managed to put him down. So it's all about, it's a bit about luck, it's about experience. One of my friends in the game, a good friend who's given me a lot of advice and made some gear for me, he said, look, it's partly your level, partly the gear you're wearing, and it's partly you and your techniques and you reading the other opponent and you're countering their moves and what you do. It's easier when you're in PvE. The mobs you're fighting are pre-programmed, and they have a script. And after a while, you sort of know the script, and you know what they're going to do, and you can sort of prepare yourself. And basically, you can game the system. You can, okay, you know that this one's going to run away, and this one's going to attack in this fashion, and ta-da-ta-da-ta-da. When you're fighting a human opponent, you don't know what they're going to do. And that gets difficult. It also gets challenging. And if you're at the right level, and if you're prepared to do it, it's fun. So I think I'll probably continue it for a while, certainly for the foreseeable future. And I'll probably go out without the flag on certain occasions, but yeah, I think I'll be wearing it a little more often. And I look forward to having a few fights with people, and look, maybe even winning a few. That'd be fun. So that's my general advice for what it's worth. If your adventurer level is below, let's say, an arbitrary number of 100, it's probably not even worth thinking about. But once you get up to that point, and if you want to give it a try, by all means, be prepared to lose a number of fights. But you will learn from each one. And who knows, one day you'll start winning, and one day you could even be feared. I'm an awful long way from being feared, but I've won a couple, so who knows what's going to happen. All right, we have another update, number 340, the deck building live stream and the R67 dance party. And here we go. Well, the first item on the news is the live stream, which they have every Friday afternoon, which of course was streamed while I was in bed fast asleep. So I missed it all, which is disgusting. And it's an interesting one. So look, if you saw it, that's great. If you missed it, it'll be on YouTube. And it looks to be an interesting one this week. It's all about deck building. Now, as they say, as you know, Shroud has an unconventional combat system. It's different to a lot of other games, and people have had trouble with it. People have said, what the hell, this is just weird, I can't deal with this. Once you get used to it, it's actually quite attractive, and it's very useful. I got used to it, and I thought I had it mastered, and then my friend, whom I've mentioned earlier, said, no, you actually should be doing this. Oh, really? Okay, fine. And my combat ability and my fearsomeness, if that's a word, rocketed up amazingly. So there are many ways to build a deck, and you just need to sit down, talk to people, talk to the clever people, seek out some experienced players and say, well, what do you do? And how do you get the results that you get? There are many ways to skin a cat. There are many ways to build a deck. You can have a dynamic deck, which basically means you've got a lot of glyphs in your pool, and as you're going along, you'll see all the glyphs rotating, and there's a new one coming up every second or every few seconds, and so you hit the one that you want, and that triggers that ability or spell or whatever, and that's fine. And you can slide one glyph on top of another to stack it. Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, yeah, you need to be quick with the mouse and the pointer and stuff and do all of that. And that's good. Or you can have a static deck where you only have that number of glyphs. They're locked in place. They're always there. You know where they are. You know spot number one is always going to be this. You might say that decreases flexibility, but you can also say it's easy. You know what's there, and you know what you're going to select. And there is auto attack, and there is manual attack. each of them have their proponents. I'm running on manual attack at the moment, and I'm finding it works for me, because I have so many things in my build, in my character, in the equipment that I'm using to promote rapid fire. And as you're probably aware, if you hold down a glyph, let's say you're an archer, which I am, you hold down a glyph and it will stack. So you've got aimed shot, for example. You press the button and keep on holding it down, and the little marker on the screen goes, you know, tick, 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 tick. Yes, you've got a six stack, you can let it go and fire it. Okay. If you're doing a manual attack, and if you've got heaps of effects that will increase your attack speed, you just hold down the left mouse button and it goes tick, 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 fire. Tick, 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 fire. You can get attacks off pretty quickly, and I'm sure that applies to melee, to pole arms, to bludgeons as well. You can get off attacks pretty quickly, and they end up being pretty powerful. So, look, think about it. Look at this live stream. Any newer players, look at the live stream, take some advice, and the most important thing is, find out what works for you, because no two decks are going to be the same. And it's a very useful, very instructive thing to see. Okay, so the live stream was this morning. They were offering prizes, of course, as they usually do. To get a prize, you just had to make any purchase in the store or log into the game and type Happy Birthday Lord British in the chat window. So there we are. Okay, now next we have the Crown Shop updates. As you know, every time or every week or so they're updating the Crown Shop, they're putting new stuff in. This week, their latest additions, well, we have gold and silver versions of the telescope. Nice, that's great. We've got a disco potion and a breed of cat. Lovely. Now, these telescopes, they're silver and gold versions of the small telescope, and they're perfect for discreetly spying on your neighbours. Hey, what? No, officer, that's not what I said at all. So, yeah, you can use your telescope to see what your neighbours are doing. All right, and there are flesh flayer decorations. You know those wonderful things that you find in the shard falls that will attack you and try and strip the flesh off you? They're not nice. Well, these decorations look the same, but they're not deadly. They are quite friendly. They're okay. They just look nasty. And they've got idle animations, which sort of look like the real ones, but they don't bite. So that's good. And you can get them in multiple sizes. So, perfect for a very visitor-friendly decoration for your house, may I say. Yeah, very nice. Okay, now there is a disco potion. If you drink that potion, it temporarily puts an amazing set of visual effects beneath your feet and above your head. Oh, that's very nice. So, perfect for dance parties. If you're going to a dance party and you want to look really cool, you got these sparkly lights all around your feet and over your head. Fantastic. That's great. So, they've made a disco potion just for that. There is a wedgie Siamese cat. Yeah, it looks a bit like a Siamese cat that was run over by a bus. It's not very thick. But, hey, if you like one, perfect, go for it. It's a new breed of the Siamese cat, available for the first time. And we have the vault. Okay, as advertised, there's a new set of vault items that are available until Thursday, July the 18th. As you know, every fortnight they wheel out a new set of stuff that were available weeks, months, years ago, and they're now still available at a slightly more premium price, and the old stuff goes away. Right, this stuff is available until next Thursday. And if you're looking to get any of these, go for it before they go away. You've got a Cloud Imperium Navy airship, which is a city home. That comes from Star Citizen. An Aether Aeronaut helmet, also from Star Citizen. A Virtue Aeronaut helmet, Virtue Clockwork wings, the Adobe two-story with upper deck village home, a blackened metal baby clockwork dragon. Who doesn't want a clockwork dragon? Yeah, right. Fire elemental statue with flame effect. That looks pretty impressive. A 45-piece firework assortment and flaming bagpipes. So there you are, just the thing for the well-dressed and around-town avatar. Okay, next item. The Lord British's birthday make a difference and episode 2 stretch goal stores have a 50% price drop. We did mention this last week, but just again, to celebrate Lord British's birthday on July the 4th, we've reduced the prices on every item in the Make a Difference and the Stretch Goal store by 50%. And in case you've been living under a rock or you're a new arrival to the game, you think, well, what is this Make a Difference or the Stretch Goal store? Okay, I will tell you. Apart from being a wonderful game, apart from being a place of enjoyment, Shroud believes in supporting people who are not as well off as we are. And there are a number of charities which the game supports. And you will find items, you'll find digital items in the store that you can use in game. It's basically pixel fluff. And they will increase your enjoyment. You buy these from the store. Approximately, I think off the top of my head, about half of the profits go to certain charities. And you're helping people out. Okay, so there is a nature charity and a safe water and sanitation charity. So you're looking after the environment. You're helping people around the world get access to clean drinking water. A lot of people in third world countries, especially Africa, just do not have clean water to drink. It's dreadful. There is a breast cancer charity. We know what sort of a scourge breast cancer is. There is an autism awareness charity. Autism is a serious illness that affects its sufferers and affects their families very badly. There is Movember, charity looking after men's health. Men have problems with their own kinds of health, prostatic problems and cancer and mental health disorders and suicide. Okay, nobody talks about it. They should. Right. There are children and family charities. So, a lot of items in the store, you can find the proceeds of these will go towards these particular charities. Well worth it if you want to get stuff to increase your enjoyment in the game and you know you're doing a good thing, it's there. Also, there is a stretch goal. The aspiration and the aim is to have rideable mounts in the game. Okay, that will happen one day. Don't lawyer me and don't say when it's going to happen because I don't know. But they're offering stretch goals. Basically, you can buy little ponies and you can buy a barn to store your stock and your animals in. Okay, now your little pony, okay, it's a pet at the moment. Once they bring the tech in and once they get around to making it, they have the time and the funds and the money and the technological parameters to do this, that little pony will grow into something that you can actually ride. So buy the pony now while it's cheap and then you'll have a horse you can ride later. Okay. So there we are. Those are all the things you can buy in the store. Next item, we have the July login rewards. Anybody who logs into the game in July will receive a number of slices of cake to, obviously, celebrate Lord British's birthday. Now, there's 8 slices, 8 pieces of cake, very nice, and they're consumable. So, yeah, you can nibble away at them, very nice. Then they do confer a number of buffs. It's like your conventional food sources. They're not upper tier sources. They probably don't come near to some of the higher level food sources. We're talking about how many combat health you'll regenerate, how much focus you regenerate, how much strength or dexterity, whatever it will give you. Okay, they're not quite up to that. But the good thing is, it's a bit of fun, and it's free, so enjoy them. The next item on the list is the Shroud of the Avatar Rewards Program, which they've been mentioning for some time. A really good initiative, I think. They've dropped the idea of the stretch goals, and they've moved over to the rewards program. I suspect they're trying to get as many people as possible onto it, which is probably a good idea, because a lot less stress, a lot less begging and pleading and carrying on, and a more secure income for the game. But let's face it, we have to keep the lights on. This is such a fantastic game, we have to keep it running. So, if you wish to sign up for the rewards program, you can call it a subscription if you want to, but you do get rewards for it, so it's not just a subscription. It's $9 a month. Now that $9 a month, that's okay, it's the price of a couple of cups of coffee. It's not much. But for that, you will get rewards. And you get 900 gold crowns of the obsidians every month. You get exclusive monthly rewards. This is in place of the stretch goal rewards that they used to offer. And of course, this month, remember we had the heroes themed rewards a few releases ago. Didn't get to give them all out because we didn't reach the stretch goals. So they said, well, why don't we give a few of them away as the exclusive rewards? And so this month we have the Dragonfly Wings, the round striped shield with a star in the middle of it, and a golden jeweled gauntlet. And this is in no way, officer, related to the movie that's currently doing the rounds about Marvel superheroes. Absolutely not, sir. No way. Right, good. Now that we've got that sorted, you can walk around with your own Captain America shield. Okay, so you get that, and every month they will offer these rewards. If you're a part of the rewards program, you get them automatically. You do have to log in as well. So if you go away on holiday for 6 months and don't log into the game, then sorry, you'll miss out on the rewards, which is a shame. So just remember to log in at least once a month. And hopefully you get so sucked in by the game, you'll want to log in 3 times a day. Alright, you get an exclusive title every 3 months. You can pick any die pack every 6 months and 3 obsidian potions every month. And trust me, do not move out the door without my obsidian potions. They are fantastic. Alright, next item, the Lord of the Isle Episode 2 bundles, which we bang on about every week. So there's obviously still a few available. At that price, I'm not surprised. But Episode 2 is coming. Just to recap it very quickly, there is the opportunity to be one of the biggest and fattest and most outrageous supporters of the game. If you take up this bundle, you will get a Lord of the Isle, Place Anywhere Castle lot deed. It is a huge deed. You'll need a fleet of gardeners for it. It's tax-free forever if you place it in a player-owned town, or tax-free for a year anywhere else, and you can put it on water. so it comes equipped with floaties. You get a title, Lord or Lady of the Isle. You get a unique home. They've shown us the castle, and that is just absolutely humongous. There's another home as well. You can have a basement, a wall set, a dungeon room, a whole pile of crowns, 999 bank slots, 12 prosperity tools, 2 unique in-game items, which they'll tell us about later. Early access to episode 2, you get an episode 1 box and map signed by the team. You get a 1-hour video conference with Chris for design discussion, nice. You get a real silver ring, crafted personally by Lord British. You get an in-game version of that ring. You get a tour of Lord British's place, and you get dinner and drinks with the team, either in Austin or New York, but you do have to get yourself there. So that is fantastic. They start at about $6,995. So take a stiff drink and reflect on whether you've won Lotto lately. But look, if you have, if you're in a position to do it, by all means do it. There will only be 24 of these packages ever sold, so they're rare and they're unique and they are valuable, and basically it just marks you as a humongous supporter of the game. You generate an awful lot of respect. Okay, now we've got live streams. As always, the live stream they showed last week, the Lord British birthday live stream, there is a link to it in the newsletter here. It's also on YouTube, and they get these live streams up to YouTube as quickly as they can. And as you're also aware, Chris live streams just about every day while he's working. And seriously, if you have the time and the inclination, I'm suffering from lack of time mostly, but if you have the time and the inclination, you will learn a lot of what's going through their heads, of what they're trying to do. And sometimes people ask the question, well, why didn't they do this, why didn't they do that, why didn't they do something else? And they, you know, it should have been easy to do this and something like that. If you listen and you take the time to watch and to effectively, you know, virtually talk to the devs as they're building this game, you understand why they do the things they do and why this particular feature or this little bit or something like that that you really, really wanted may not be possible. So it's, I think it's really going to help in communication and in understanding. There are 3 live streams all up, highlighted in this week's news release, but they're all up on YouTube. If you subscribe to their YouTube channel, you get a lovely little email in your inbox every time they put a video up. So you'll never miss out on anything, which is a really good feature. Okay, upcoming events. Well, we have, the live streams and the Release 67 dance party is coming up, which I think is sort of like happening now. Release 68, 69. If you want to go to conventions and things, well, August 29 to September 2 is Dragon Con, and October 10 to 13 is the SOTA International Convention, which I would love to go to. It's just a little bit too far away, I think. Yeah, sort of the other side of the world, but apart from that, it'd be a great thing to do. If you have the opportunity, then go for it. Okay, and all the releases are listed there, right down to release 73 on December 12. Next item, we have the Merits commercial. And we talk about this every week as well, but hey, it's worth talking about. As you know, simple little app that you put on your phone, stick your phone in your pocket, and that couples up with either the health app on your phone or your Fitbit or whatever you happen to be using, counts the number of steps you take as you walk around. So it encourages you to walk around, which is good for your health and good for your heart and good for everything. And you use those points to buy things like obsidian potions. 3,000 points per obsidian potion. You can get one every 3 days, which I do religiously. That's fantastic. They also run their sweepstakes. And at the end of July, somebody is going to walk away with a turreted city home. And that looks like a magnificent residence. It is fantastic. It's 14,900 crown value. And, well, of course, you've got to have a city lot to put it on. But if you have one of those, this would be an absolutely imposing and wonderful place to live. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4 levels, plus dormer windows in the roof, so effectively 5. You've got an extended family. It's the ideal place to put them when all the in-laws and outlaws and distant third and fourth, fifth cousins come to stay. You could put everybody up there. It'd be fantastic. Okay, so you can enter the sweepstakes every day. 2,500 points for a sweepstakes ticket. Somebody's going to win at the end of July. It might as well be you. Okay, the community events page. Well, there's the Release 67 dance party. This is a forum post by Alain Dragonfire. And right, it's going to be in Tortuga, in a dry docked galleon next to the main dock. Friday, July the 12th at 5 p.m. New Britannian time. Okay, a little bit redundant to be talking about that now, because that will have been past and gone. So, these dance parties are a great initiative. It also serves as a stress test, just to see how many people they can pack into an instance without the servers collapsing. And yeah, it's a really great thing. Everybody gets there and has so much fun. I've not had the occasion or the opportunity to go to very many, I have to confess. Not that I wouldn't like to, I'd love it, but time zones, time differences, they're horrible. Okay, that's the dance party. Alright, now the next community event, Lily's Summer High Tea in the Garden. This is by Lily Bird. And she says here, July tea is not in Jade Valley at my cottage. It's going to be in Elementium. I'm visiting friends at the Suvorov Castle and decided to have a tea party here instead. Tea will be earlier than usual too, and made lots of lovely cakes to share. See you all there. And yeah, there's a little poster as a part of the picture here. The print is actually fairly small, unfortunately, but here we go. I'm celebrating the fullness of summer with friends here in Elementium at a special high tea served on the castle grounds at Elementium. Now, get your diaries out. At 2 p.m. Central USA time zone on Sunday, the 28th of July. So put that in your diaries. Sunday the 28th of July at 2 p.m. in Elementium. Now, generally we play a party game with small prizes awarded. Most of us will enjoy having tea and cake and a relaxing afternoon. We hope you join us, Lily Bird. And she says, when you land on the dock, turn around and walk to the large telescopes at the end of the dock, then take the rowboat on the right to the castle, and tea will be served in the castle. That sounds very, very nice, doesn't it? Okay, so that is Lily Bird's summer tea party. You will enjoy that. There is another community event, the Chateau de Lille picture contest. I hope I've said that right. This is a forum post by Violette Dionysus. And I've probably said that wrong too, I'm sorry. Okay, it's hello and welcome outsiders. The Guardians de Lille would like to invite you all to one of our official guild events, a picture contest. The rules are simple. Come and visit our town, Chateau de Lille, which we've recently renovated, and take a picture of yourself and or your friends doing something in our town. might be challenging each other to a duel, or taking a drink at our tavern, or simply helping us water our gardens. Just show us what you did when you visited our town. Right, so here are the very, very simple rules. Not difficult, not complicated. The picture must include an avatar. It could be you, could be someone else. We just want to see our town come to life. And that's it. And it has to... Oh, no, there's one other rule. It has to be taken in Chateau de Lis. Any picture elsewhere won't be considered. It has to be of an avatar in the town, and it has to be in this town, Chateau de Lis. There you go. Easy. You have until Friday, the 12th of July, 23:59 p.m., right, to submit your pictures to me through private message on Discord. And the Discord name, would you believe, is thatoddfrenchguy#3627. Got that? That odd French guy, all one word, #3627. Or via the forum's private conversation option. Okay. Now, a voting phase will begin within the next 24 hours after the submission phase. And for you outsiders, there's two prizes. There's an outsider's prize. That's the top voted picture amongst the entire community. So I guess everybody is going to get to vote on those pictures. So if you have the best, the most popular picture, as voted by the whole community, first place, 75,000 gold. That's pretty good. Okay. That's a lot better than a poke in the eye. All right. And the Guardian's pick. This is obviously as voted by the Guardians de Lis members. First place, 50,000 gold. Very good. And a heraldry piece of your own choice with the official Guardians de Lis heraldry. And that looks really nice. That's beautiful heraldry. Okay. If you want it on a piece of gear, then you have to supply the gear. But if you want a banner or a decoration, they will do that for you. Most of all, have fun. Thank you for visiting our new town. And almost finally, we have resources, players helping players. Now, as we mention every week, there is the official new player welcome forum, the player created resources forum. There's a section in the forum there. If you're a new player, if you don't know where you're going, what you're doing, or you just want to announce that you've arrived, say, hi, I'm here, having a great time. Or, hi, I'm here, I'm as confused as hell. What do I do? There will be people to say hello to answer your questions, and basically help you get started. Because, yeah, it's a bit of a learning curve, this game. But once you get into it, you will find it a little bit like the Hotel California. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. It will get its hooks into you, and you will be addicted. And if you go into it deeply, and if you find that it speaks to your soul, you're going to be here 10 years later, as a lot of us will be. It's one of those kinds of games. It's fascinating and it's fabulous. Okay, so these forums, they've got the best player-created resources for Shroud of the Avatar, whether it's a player-written guide, a video walkthrough, or a wiki-type website. And there is a community resources page for a complete listing of all things community. Okay, now at this point, they usually have a project to support, which is Avatars Radio, and this week they don't. And that leads me on to a little bit of sad news which I need to talk about, which a lot of you have already heard, but for those who don't or who haven't heard, Avatars Radio will be closing down imminently. That's a bit of a shock to many people. It was a shock to me when I heard about it. The backstory is the wonderful, courageous and inspiring community member Amber Rain, who initiated Avatars Radio just over 5 years ago now, and has been the driving force behind it, the owner of the station, the person who administered it, who ran it, who paid all the bills, who did all that sort of stuff. Okay, look, unfortunately, has the odd one or two significant and serious medical issues, and they've been plaguing her for quite some time. She has shared publicly that stuff is going on. She is looking at a surgical procedure to hopefully alleviate a lot of this and give her a much better quality of life. And okay, this is not trivial stuff. It's going to be some fairly major surgery and involving a very prolonged recovery. We are looking at a year. So without her to run the station, to administer it, to be the driving force, to pay the bills, to do all that, even if other members and other DJs were running it, which I'm sure they could, she'd still be stressing about it and feeling responsible for it, and that would not help a smooth and calm recovery. Under advice from her doctors, the only option is for Avatars Radio to close down for the foreseeable future. Now, we're hoping that it's only for a year or so, but it is going dark on Monday. And yeah, that's a bit of pill to swallow. And because of the fact that they've done so much for the community, I mean, they do all the dance parties, they do all the music, productions, plays, podcasts, they carry this little podcast, and wow, you know, that's like a bomb being let off. And you think, well, okay, I thought, well, what's going to happen? I thought, okay, right, without a radio audience, what do I do? Now, these podcasts that we do, they are also archived on the Caverns website. That is thecaverns.net/podcasts. And I thought, well, okay, maybe a few people might be interested enough to go up there and download it and listen to it. It's a lot easier just to listen to it on the in-game radio. I thought, well, okay, the next question is, do I actually have an audience? My head's not quite big enough to think that I've got hundreds of people listening to me. Even if it's only a few, it might be worth carrying on. And so I put a notice in the forum. I basically said, look, this is the situation, people. I'm really happy to conduct my weekly ramblings. If it's helping the community, if people are interested, if I'm talking to myself, then no, probably not, and we might have to have a holiday. Well, the encouraging thing is I got quite a few very warm replies, and I thank everybody for that. It's just nice to know that you do have a bit of an audience, and it's nice to know that some people are interested and benefiting from what I carry on with week by week. Radio is a funny medium. It's not like being live on stage, and it's really difficult to get any ratings. I don't know whether there's two people listening or 20 or whatever, but at least I get the sense that there are people out there who would like me to carry on. So I thank you all sincerely for that. That is fantastic. And not only that, but Laz from WRFB reached out and said, look, I think we can help. And he gave me a wonderfully generous offer, which I've taken up on. So from now on, basically, it's just a matter of switching channels. And as I said in the forum, it will be operating at the same time. They've seen no issue and no problems at all with running the little podcast at the same time. So it's the same bat time, the same but a different bat channel. You will find the podcast on Radio Free Britannia or WRFB. And so look, in closing, I would like to pay tribute to Amber, whose dedication, whose love for the game, whose love for community gave us Avatars Radio, and the wonderful team of DJs and the family in Avatars Radio that I've had the absolute privilege of working with. They are gold, every last one of them. I really and sincerely hope we don't lose contact. I'm sure we won't. We will be engaged in other things down the track. I hope we can get together again. I hope Avatars Radio comes back. But for the foreseeable future, it is going dark. And so I tip my hat and sincerely thanks and give warm hugs to everybody in Avatars Radio who've made me feel part of a family. And as I say, nothing is constant. Change happens all the time. And I want to sincerely thank Laz and the people at WRFB who've agreed to take me on. And I hope we can continue entertaining and informing and providing some sort of light relief in some ways. Just some fun and some pleasure to this great community. So, one little era closes for the moment, another one opens. So, I believe this particular week's podcast is being carried by both stations. WRFB is tooling up and making sure it works. So, if you're feeling particularly masochistic, you might like to tune into both at once and get me in stereo, and that would be awful. Okay, so, but as of next week, Avatars Radio will be off the air, sadly. It's been a wonderful run, and I can't speak highly enough of the team, and I'm sure I'm going to get along just as well with the team at WRFB, and we're going to have great adventures together. So, having said that, there's not much else to say. Thanks to everybody. Have a great week in the game. Enjoy, and may the game bring you everything you wanted. Try not to die too often, especially at other people's hands. And I will take us out. The wonderful background music for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Tackle for the technical work on the newscast. Again, thanks to Amber and Avatars Radio for their immense support over the years airing this little podcast. Thanks to Laz and the team at WRFB for taking it on. And let's see what the future brings. So this is Asclepius signing off until next week with Echoes from the Caverns.